Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and My Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Unfortunately, I don't know where Nicole is tonight. She usually joins me. She's my co-host and producer. She's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, I'm not sure why my Nicole's not here. Sometimes she gets held up in traffic. She does work, and normally she lets me know. I'm hoping she'll just join in the show sometime later on. And until then, I'm just going to man the ship by myself. Now, I did get some very interesting emails in the last few days, and I got one from a woman whose name is Lulu, and I get a kick out of that, since those of you who know me, my name is Cindy Louise, and hate when people call me Cindy Lou, but that's what I went by when I was a child. I'm Cindy Lou. So I'm very glad to be picking up Lulu's call. She had a long-term relationship with someone, and it didn't work out, and she has a very strong soulmate connection. So I'm going to let Lulu tell her story. Hello, Lulu. You're live and on the air.
Hi. How are you? Thank you for taking me first.
I had to have some solution for this girl who's been emailing me since yesterday about you needing a reading. And she, and most of my clients know that I will squeeze you in if I can, but I have squeezed in every person to the point where I don't even have a dinner break in the next month. So I'm like, I can't squeeze in one more person, but I can put her on tonight because, and I love the way you said that I was, you know, very nice to, you know, you're a perfect stranger and, you know, that I cared about you. Of course I do, because my mission is soulmate love.
So
and when I hear someone whose heart is breaking because their soulmate, you know, something's happened, I have great sympathy for that. So it does look like Nicole's on the air, too, so I'm glad to see that. So, Lulu, why don't you tell us a little about your story, and then I'm going to try to figure out how we can maybe help you here.
Sure. So I dated this guy about 5.5 years ago, and the timing was really bad. I had just come out of a string of very bad relationships. And, you know, I was kind of a mess. And timing was bad for him because he had a lot going on in his professional life. But as soon as I met him, it was that instant recognition that this is my person. I always thought it was like fake when people said, when you know, you know. And that's how I felt about him.
Well, interesting, because you said were two things that, you know, Nicole can verify for me, but relationships work in 5-year cycles. So now you're telling us you're at the 5.5-year mark, okay? It's really important. Marker two, you said recognition. It's called a recognition factor. You actually had the recognition factor. You felt like you always knew him. And cling, cling, cling. So those things, those two markers right there would tell me we're definitely dealing with soulmate. Okay, because every 5 years, God says, fix it, leave it, get it back together. So, okay, so it didn't work out then, and filling in from there.
Yeah, sorry, I'll try to keep this brief. It didn't work out because I was a mess, and I kind of did some things that pushed him away, and, you know, he got freaked out and ended the relationship. And the relationship was brief. It wasn't a long, we didn't have a long-term relationship, but I've missed him all this time. I've been in other relationships since. I was with somebody else for 2 years, and every single day of my life I missed, since, you know, we broke up, I've missed him. Not of my life, I'm 35, but like in the last
Okay, and this all makes sense because we, you know, to bring you up to snuff, there's two words for time in the Greek language, Kairos and Chronos. Chronos is you were with the guy for 2 years, okay, or you have to speak to Cindy at 7 o'clock. That's Chronos time. Kairos time is soul time. It's time when our heart stands still. It doesn't matter if we knew the person for 2 minutes or 200 years. That 2 minutes left a mark on our heart. So Kairos time is he left a, a mark on your heart and your soul that you haven't been able to forget. And I'm going to ask you four questions and ask you if you can, if you say yes to them, then we're going to verify even more he was a soulmate. Do you feel, did you feel a heart connection with him? You loved him with your heart?
Yes, 100%.
How about with your soul? And I know you loved him with your soul because I will answer that question for you because soulmate love brings up unhealed issues and you got scared.
Right.
Although it brought out the best in you for a moment, you got scared and you sabotaged it. So there was definitely that soul and soulmate love, you know, opening up your soul. How about with your mind? Did you like when you talked to him?
Yes. We had we are so in sync. It was like I could be, even though I was a mess at that time, I felt like I could completely be myself with him because our personalities just mesh together so well. You know, like we are very, we completed each other's sentences. We totally got each other. You know, it was definitely a mind connection, 100%.
And I'm stopping you a little bit only because other people are listening and I'm trying to educate you, everything you're saying that's soulmate, okay? And that's that you answered each other's sentences because soulmates are very telepathic, okay? That telepathy is something that is very important because most people are afraid to love a soulmate because they're afraid to love someone who could die on them. And so they water down that love or they run away from it. And meanwhile, God forbid if our soulmate should die, he or she would commune to us telepathically because they have the ability to do that. So you have the telepathy. How about the body chemistry? Did you have a very strong body chemistry?
Yes, 100%.
Okay, because the body chemistry is really important.
There's incredible chemistry there.
Right. Okay, good. Because, again, soulmates are supposed to have incredible chemistry because they're supposed to keep each other from the temptations of the world. Okay, there's a lot of temptation out there. But if your soulmate has that chemistry that knocks your socks off, you're not going to be tempted.
There was an incredible sexual connection there. And again, it was like finishing each other's sentences. When I say we finished each other's sentences, it was like that sexually as well.
Okay. Now you're the one who broke it off with him five years ago.
He ended it with me.
Okay. And
so I sabotaged it by, you know, pushing, doing the standard, you know, quote unquote crazy things girls do. I started becoming clingy and needy and just alarming behavior. And that's, you know, I look back at that person and I have a lot of empathy for her because of what she was going through, but I'm so angry at her for messing up something so special. So, sorry.
And also he got scared too because it's funny how with toxic love, we talk about cellmate love here, the opposite of soulmate. It brings out the worst in people, and cellmates can stay together for like, you know, 50 years beating the hell up out of each other, okay, because cellmate love doesn't demand healing. Soulmates often run away because they do get scared, okay, so he was scared too. Now, after that, the woman he's with now, you can fill us in with that. He's now, tell us about what's going on now. He's been with this woman for how long?
So he got together with her pretty quickly after the two of us broke up. I think he ended it with me in September, and they got together in December of that year, so December of 2013. So they've been together ever since. And, you know, I just, from what I know about, like, I don't know her. from what I, you know, what I've been able to piece together over the years, and, like, let's be honest, we all peek on each other on social media.
Of course. It's called orbiting. We orbit. We look at social media, okay?
Yeah.
We don't have to call you. I know exactly what you're doing. Okay, so you orbited. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It just always seemed like such an odd connection. She just doesn't seem like the type of person, you know, and that's obviously a biased judgment, but so they've been together ever since. And then about 2 years after we broke up, 3 years ago, so I actually consider myself very, I'm an empath for sure, and I consider myself very, I have a lot, very intuitive. And so I just, and like you said, I knew it was a soulmate connection, and I just always had this hope that our story wasn't over. But at the 2 year mark, I was still really confused about it, and, you know, like, why can't I get over this guy? I was, you know, seeing somebody else. And that other person was a rocky relationship, and I knew from the start that that wasn't, you know, he was just kind of a placeholder. And
okay.
Met my, who's now my, kind of a spiritual teacher to me, works with the tarot. He is a clairvoyant, and I went to him on the recommendation of a friend. I hadn't been to someone in a while, and he picked up on him right away in the cards and said exactly what we've been saying, that this is a soulmate connection, this is a real soulmate. And he caveated it with, just because somebody's your soulmate, it doesn't mean that the two of you are supposed to be together. Sometimes your soulmate enters your life and teaches you the lesson that they need to teach you, and you move forward.
Right, exactly. Not all soulmates are meant to last forever, and thank God we have more than one. And sometimes, first of all, there's already lessons you've learned. You've learned,
right.
A, if you're given another soulmate, whether it's him or another soulmate, you are not going to screw this up. Okay,
right.
You are not going to screw
not.
Up. Okay,
so,
and, you know, so I would advise you to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love
right.
and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be able to
right.
be the same. If it's him, so be it. If it's someone else, the universe will bring that and align it. Now, you did recently reconnect with him, right? You were, with your generation and social media, it's like, in the past, you know, you couldn't be doing what your generation's doing because there was one phone
right.
in the mouth. You think if you broke up with somebody 5 years ago and he's with somebody else, your mother or father's going to let you go through on that, you know, talk to him on the phone, or they'd be like, no, you can't talk.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you've been talking and messaging
talking.
Each other.
Yeah, I'll just summarize the rest of this very quickly. So Kevin picked up on my teacher and said, you need to reach out to him to clear up the miscommunication that ended your relationship. Otherwise, you guys will never be together, because I do feel that you're supposed to be together, but this is the action you have to take. And I reached out to him, and we had a very meaningful conversation. He received everything I said so kindly.
And what did you say?
I just said, you know, I was in a really bad place in my life. I'm very sorry for the way that I acted. I did things that were completely out of character, and I just want to apologize for that. But I also want to tell you that I really love you and care for you, and I miss you every day, and I don't expect anything from you. And I just needed you to know this.
Hooray for you,
yeah.
Because you've just showed the universe that you're not afraid of commitment. You were what I would call a closet commitment phobic in the past. You were really afraid of it, and you sabotaged it. But you just showed what you weren't afraid. You will never regret that you said this, because the truth is invaluable. If he doesn't know this, then he can't make a decision. If he decides to go forward in his life without you, you won't be one of those dead people that I talk to. And believe me, talking to dead people is brutal, because they're always saying, I could have, would have, should have said something. Okay, so you said it. Now, after you said it, how did he respond?
He received it with complete kindness. I remember him saying, I couldn't imagine a nicer call to receive. And him saying, I always felt like you were so wonderful. And then when things got weird, like, I was really confused by it. And it really did clear up what had happened between us. And it felt like a weight lifted. But I feel like at that point he was already, you know, 2 years in, and a phone call from your ex is, like, not going to go very far out of the blue, you know. So it was more for me healing myself, and I just needed, I felt like I needed to be emotionally generous with no expectation. But I did still, I never gave up the hope that we were going to be, that life would find a way for us to be together. So fast forward to last December, and, you know, in all the tarot work and everything that I've done, it's all saying, like, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And last December, I was at an event for this professional network I'm involved in, and I was sitting at a table, and I heard what the founder of the network say his name in conversation with somebody else. And I thought I was, you know, hallucinating because I was like, how are you? You know, it seemed like a real sign from the universe. And then I found out that he was involved in that network, and I reached out to him through the channels there. And so in December, it was kind of, you know, we hadn't talked in a while, and it was a lot of formality. And then ever since December, you know, I was just kind of letting things run their course. And I didn't want to, even though I had these very strong feelings for him and was feeling like my dreams are coming true, like this is all happening, you know, I didn't want to rush into anything or declare my love for him too soon and freak him out, because all the while I've known he's been in this other relationship. Meanwhile, our conversations went from like more formal to more casual, and then friendlier and friendlier, and our connection, like, there was always a subtext of sexual chemistry, love chemistry to our interactions, for sure. So in May, I had an opening. I'm a creative director, and I had an opening in my department. I needed a freelancer really quickly, and he actually reached out to me and said, you know, my friend, you know, could work for you. So I, you know, hired his friend, and he's been working for me since May. And he, unsolicited, he said, oh, Pete confided in me that, sorry, I just said his name. He confided in me that he's really unhappy in his relationship. It's a difficult relationship to be in. There's a lack of intimacy there. And this is completely unsolicited, because this man didn't know my history with him. And
right, exactly.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And then, you know, a little bit later, I think he picked up on there was something between the two of the man that works for me, not Pete.
Right.
Picked up that there was something between us, and straight out asked me, like, did anything ever happen between you? And I said, well, yes, like, we dated years ago, and, you know, we've become friendly again. And he told me, I feel like he's talked to me about you without saying it was you. And I said, well, what did he say? And he said that there is a girl that he has a really strong connection with, that he feels really strongly about, and it's not his girlfriend, and that he talks to all the time. And I just felt like that was me, you know. So.
And it certainly was you.
Yeah. So last Monday, the guy that works for me said, I'm going to go have coffee with Pete, because he had done some freelance design work for him, for his company. So they met up for coffee, and he called me after and said, because at this point he knew, like, my feelings for him, you know. I told him in a, you know, the most professional way possible, but I still had feelings
right, exactly.
for this person. So he called me and said, I hate to be the one to tell you this. They're getting married next month. And, you know, he had just referred to her as his girlfriend, like, a week before, you know, it wasn't his fiance or so. You know, I went into shock, and I was like, not only are they engaged, but they're getting married next month. You know, what is happening? How is this happening? And so the next day I pretended I didn't know anything, Tuesday, and I asked him if he would have coffee with me the next day. And I just thought, this is the time I have to tell him, you know, this is a Hail Mary that I have to
say. Right, the Hail Mary, exactly. Hail Mary, uh-huh.
Yeah, this unhappy, if he's in an unhappy relationship, like, why? The only thing that made sense to me was that she was pregnant, or there was some urgent situation happening. And you know, we met up and we were just talking for an hour before I, you know, it was like our rapport was there, everything was there. It was like electricity was there. And then of course I got very nervous when I said, you know, I didn't know that you had gotten engaged and maybe this isn't coming at the best time, but I needed you to know that I love you. I've loved you all this time. I've never met anyone like you. And, you know, when I felt like there was really a reason that life brought us back into each other's, whatever forces brought us back into each other's lives, you know, you could just tell that his body language and the way he was looking at me, and he reciprocated all of those feelings that felt like his hands were tied. And I remember saying, you know, I don't think a connection like ours is something that you find very often, you come across very often in this world. And he just looked so crestfallen. And I remember his shoulders softened and then he nodded in agreement. You know, it was like he felt everything, but he just kept talking about how he's been in this relationship a really long time. It was never like, I love this girl or this is the woman I'm marrying. I'm sorry that you feel this way, but, you know, I love somebody else. It was just like, I've been with her a long time. And even before, when he had mentioned that the engagement, he called it an unofficial engagement. So it was like, well, are you engaged or are you not? You know, like, it's just like, he seemed so tentative about the whole thing.
All right, but what I'm seeing here is that, you know, he plans at this point marrying her.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't know how to get out of it. He's been with her all these years. It kind of the next progression of things. You know, you threw him for a loop here. And,
yeah.
You know, he doesn't know how to respond to it. But, you know, she's been sensing somebody else has been around. Okay, that's
okay.
The pressure she put on him to marry her. Somehow
okay.
She felt, or either she saw a text message or something that gave her a heads up that he's been talking with you.
Okay.
And she's the one who started forcing this forward at this point. And
right.
What's showing up here is that he's probably going to go through with this. And there's not much else you can do. You told him how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little haunted by all of it. And,
yeah.
You know, but mostly what people that he's talking to about the situation and he is talking says, well, you know, you didn't really know her. There wasn't much time with her, Lulu, and you didn't have much, you know, history behind you. And you've been with this woman for years. Like,
yeah.
How are you going to throw that
you
away at this point?
He's talked to other people about, he's asked other people's advice.
Well, he's talked to other people. And they're kind of telling him, well, it's probably infatuation. They're not so familiar with what a soulmate is, and that soulmate can be really haunting and
yeah.
Doesn't go away. But it's like he's almost afraid of the higher love now that he's feeling for you, too. I mean, it does look like he loves her here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I could see they fight, and I could see that it probably is more of a woman to fit a plan than a soulmate, but
mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like he's going to go through with this, and at this point, there's nothing you can do but wait and see what he does. I mean, as a sisterhood of women, you're almost asked now to back off. He's
yeah.
chosen someone else, or he says he wants to be with her. Then you have to respect that.
Yeah.
And you know, it is as much as you feel this love for him, and I know. He feels a lot of it for you, too. Showing up here, he feels a lot of the same thing stirring up. But from a logical viewpoint, and he's a very logical person, it makes
right.
no sense to throw away something that he's been with her. It's comfortable, okay? It's like an old pair of shoes.
Right.
It's comfortable. And
right.
And I could see that you've really thrown him off his game here, too, okay?
Right.
He hasn't crossed the line with you, which, you know, he's, you know, trying to keep it friendship and everything else like that. But
mm-hmm.
after this, it's like, you can't really keep being his friend. Do you realize that? Because
yeah,
if
yeah.
you're just going to be his friend, then he could choose just to have his cake and eat it too.
Of course.
And, you know, but, you know, you can keep saying that soulmate prayer because you'll be granted another soulmate if he doesn't come around.
And it looks right. like now he's just gotten himself into that corner now with her. And,
right.
you know, it's hard because he does love her at some level. And
yeah.
And what can we learn from you? Like, if we feel the soulmate thing, letting years go by without saying something is never the smartest thing to do. And
yeah.
she came to him almost at a moment of weakness. He was upset
yeah.
by what you guys not working out 5 years ago. He was very
yeah.
upset. And then he decided, I don't want to love anybody that much. So she was kind of, you know, if you've never had a soulmate, she's actually, you know, a good enough version of love. Once you've had a soulmate, it's hard to settle for a lesser love.
Exactly.
But I'm not seeing him, you know, breaking this off right now. I mean, he may try to fight with her and maybe see if she'll break it off. But
yeah.
she got wind of you, and that's why she's marrying him. She's afraid.
She's not.
You know, she's afraid to lose him.
I confirmed that she wasn't pregnant this weekend right now, but did she have a pregnancy, like, scare? That was kind of the vibe that I got when he was
Well,
talking.
I think she probably wanted to think she was pregnant. That was a good way to get him. And,
right.
You know, now they're just deciding to go on with the date. You know, what I would advise you to do at this point is say that soulmate prayer, whether it's him or another soulmate,
soulmate,
let the universe
prayer?
Bring your life home. Okay, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. If it's him, so be it. If it's another soulmate, then, you know, you're not responsible for the ending of this at this point. You've done everything karmically correct. If he was willing to, you know, embrace that and come to you, you've done all you can. And, you know, it's the hardest thing to accept what we can't change. I mean, Nicole, you've been listening. Is there anything you want to add here? Because I think there's not much she can do at this point. She's done everything she can. Nicole, you there?
Yes, I'm there. I just I had my mic turned off. But, yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like you did everything that was karmically correct, you know. You accepted your fears. You know, you overcame your fears by admitting your feelings. You took responsibility for your actions. You took responsibility for behaving badly. You know, so you've done everything that you can do right now. Now you have to kind of let go and let God. You know, you got your answer. You know, you went to and you got your answer. And now it's time, you know, for you to let go and let God. And, you know, hopefully, you know, when the dust settles, you know, either you'll be, you know, gifted another soulmate, or maybe there's still some karmic lessons that he needs to, you know, go through.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's some fears that he too needs to overcome, you know, maybe from what happened to you with you guys in the past, maybe now he's the one that's afraid of love and he's going into the, you know, with the devil that he knows, you know, versus
right.
taking a chance on love again. And that's for him to face and that's for him to overcome. And if he doesn't overcome it, then you know what? You might get stuck waiting a little bit, and hopefully you'll get granted another soulmate, or who knows? Maybe, you know, in another 3 months, maybe in another 3 years, you know, 5 months, 5 years. I mean, everything's in threes, five, sevens, you know. So hopefully, you know, within that time frame, he will either have faced his fear and gotten the courage to go for what he really wants, or maybe he will just settle, and in the future he'll, you know, do exactly what you did. And whether or not you're available at that time will be, you know, entirely up to fate.
Yeah.
Exactly. And don't, you know, right now, all you can't do any more than you did, okay? If you start chasing him again, you're going to look like that needy girl that scared him off in the first place.
No, yeah, I know.
You don't want to come across as that needy girl again, okay?
No,
you want to come through as this woman of courage who had courage to say how she really felt. And then let it go.
Brave of me.
Right, I'm saying. I mean, you took a lot of courage. You know, you did everything that I would have guided you to do. So Spirit was actually guiding you. Now you have to put it in the hands of God, like Nicole said. And
I've been at church praying that October 27th does not happen. I just I felt like maybe I could move the needle with our talk.
At some level, you know, he is with her, he is engaged to her, and as a sisterhood of women, it's bad karma for you to try to sabotage this. And the other than telling him that you loved him, now it's up to him.
And, you know, if you come across too needy, it's going to scare him. If you pressure him, it's going to scare him worse. You said what you said. Now, some of our karmic lessons is patience. Let's see what happens. So all you can do is let's see what happens. And you will be rewarded with another soulmate. And believe me, we do have more than one soulmate. I know that's not what you want to hear right now, but we do have more than one. I know. It's very hard. The death of a soulmate relationship feels like a death. It's really painful.
It really does. I had another soulmate who died. And I haven't felt this much despair since then.
Right, so. and that's exactly, it's bringing up the loss of your other soulmate. All losses bring up the other loss. But since you had one other soulmate, even though you lost him to death, were granted another soulmate. And that's probably why you were a little bit terrified to let the other one in. Because most people are afraid to love someone who could die in them. So they run away from it, they sabotage it, they water it down. So what you learned is if you're granted another soulmate, you are not running from it, you're not afraid, and you're going to brace it like a warrior, a very brave woman.
Okay.
Well, you can email me in between now, and we have to take another call before Blog Talk gets mad because we can't stay too long with one caller and me. what you're going to do is email me, let me know how you're feeling.
Okay, I so appreciate you talking to me. I really do.
Thank you. Anytime. And I think a lot of our callers are going through what you're going through, so that's why I spent time with you. But what we're going to learn from this is speak up sooner than later, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck to you. And keep emailing me, and I'll email you back.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't that a heartbreaker?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, it was.
And the reason I spend so much time with her is that's a lesson in Grant Me a Higher Love, isn't it?
No,
everything
absolutely.
Everything that we talk about, speak about, textbook soulmate. And most people seem to be sabotaging and ruining soulmate love. 1% are maintaining it. 45% are offered it. We want to up those odds a little bit. I think I'll up the odds maybe to 1.25% by time I die.
Hopefully.
After it'll be like 40 years of the mission. You know what I mean?
Hopefully, Cindy. We're getting there, one caller at a time. We're getting there.
Yes, we are. So we do have, I see TJ wants to say something, and then we'll get to Camille.
Okay.
Hello, TJ. We're on the air. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm on my way home. I'm on the ground. I'm back off the water. Interesting. The wind was blowing. It broke my hat. The string around my neck. Can you believe that? Anyway, I love you. I'll see you when I get home. You will let me know all the details after the show. That was a great call beforehand, and you got other people waiting, and I love Nicole, too. And one of these days, we're going to ski or do something with her. But anyway, goodbye. I love you. Ciao.
Bye.
Hello?
Okay. I'm sure all of our listeners, our heart is breaking for Lulu because, everybody's been there.
Had those things happen. I mean, but it's how we heal and it's how we learn, unfortunately. And, this is a hard lesson for her to learn. And, with any luck, then, the fates will align for her once again.
Right. And also... that's why 9 out of 10 love songs are about the love that got away. Adele's 25 album, every song's about the love that got away. Okay, because people seem to really screw up soulmate love until they learn the lessons, and then they realize they're going to treasure it and hold on to it because it is such a great gift. So we now have Camille, who tends to call in once in a while, and tell me what's going on with Camille tonight.
All right. Well, Camille is our lovely caller from Oregon, and she wants an update, Cindy. She's feeling a connection with this guy named Josh. She's a little bit curious about it, and she's hoping that the cards will give her a little bit of insight. So here we go with Camille. Hello, Camille. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Camille. We love Camille. We've known for about 5 years now, or 4 years or something.
Eight years.
Is it about that long? That's what I thought, because Camille, you're almost you've been with us almost as long as the show. So
how
funny, that's what we love.
Well, I saw very good cards on Josh. Now, how long have you known Josh?
3 months, all summer.
Okay, good. Now, 3 months is an important time. I'm glad you waited 3 months to ask us, because we really can't know too much about a person until 3 months, because 3 months is when the prince becomes the beast by then. Okay, I'm not seeing red flags about him. Have you been dating him, or just this is someone you know?
This is someone I know. He just figured out that I liked him maybe a week or so ago, and we just had our first date to Starbucks maybe 2 days ago. And we have plans
good.
To go out next week.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you didn't wait much longer than 2.5 months or so to start bringing it out of the friendship zone. If you stay too long in the friend zone, it's hard to go forward from it. But there looks like a very strong soulmate connection here. Are you feeling that heart, soul, mind, body thing going on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. And he also looks like he's a very hardworking man. Do you know about that, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I know in the past you haven't picked the best men, you know? So
yeah.
I'm glad to see this one works.
That's certainly
important. You know, try to just relax into this relationship a little bit. It looks like he's been hurt, too. You've been hurt. He's been hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's always a little bit scary when people have been hurt. But, you know, everything so far looks good in the cards for him. You know, I'm glad you're finally going out on that date. I would sooner than later, you know, before you sleep with him, kind of get some commitment. And it may sound old-fashioned, but with men, if you don't get that commitment in the beginning, before you drop your drawers, you may never get it. So pretty much make it clear to him you're not just a booty call, you know, that you're looking for a serious relationship. And, you know, has he mentioned what he's looking for yet?
No, he hasn't. You know, I mean, I know ideally he'd like to have children someday, but he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, he works two jobs, and that's how I met him, because he works with the schools. So I met him because my daughter attends an after-school program where he works. So
wow.
I know he's hardworking.
So you didn't even go out looking for him, you just sort of found him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, you had to move out of California to find somebody good, notice.
Yeah,
If you picked up your life and you went elsewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I'm very proud of you that you did that. And, you know, things actually look very good here with him. How old is he?
33.
Okay. Because it looks like there's an age difference here.
I just made 42, so.
Okay, that's nothing. Soulmates usually have age differences, but again, that generation has to grow up a little bit. He wants babies, but he's not sure when. Like, he's 33, so if you want them in the future, you know, think about this, buddy. It looks like he's been given, you know, all he does is work. So God had to bring him a soulmate while he's working, because all he does is work. You know,
and he works with children, so he's oblivious.
Wow. You know, he works. All he does is work. So at this point, you know, it looks really promising. It looks great. I mean, it's too brand new. You know, so it's hard to tell too much. But you know, already I like what I see here. You know, usually with guys, I oftentimes see, oh, he's in drugs. He does this. Yeah. Now this guy is good. He's a good man.
Oh yeah.
You know, sometimes they're afraid of commitment, man. So that's why I asked you his age, because I had a funny feeling he said in their 30s. Those men are really afraid of commitment, and they won't commit unless you demand it. So I would kind of advise you to, you know, let him know you're looking for serious commitment. And,
I can do that.
You know, okay, but, you know, and see how he responds to it. You know, if he's not happy about it, then, you know, just say, well, you know, it's not going to work for me. And don't be afraid to say it, because women are getting too afraid to say, I'm wanting a real commitment. That's what I want. And, you know, you don't want to just be his booty call.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while to get into the sack anyway, you know. we're not just being affectionate or demonstrative or anything like that, so.
Good.
Not yet.
Good. And just, you know, take it one day at a time. Call in again and let us know how this progresses,
okay.
But it's already progressing nicely. I'm glad you actually had the little Starbucks date to see, you know, are we compatible? And now the big date, like everything's moving away. As a dating expert, I would say so far so good. He's doing everything
right
that you would ask for, you know. And again, I love that he doesn't drink and abuse drugs and he works. I mean, these are already hallelujah things here. You know, because too much is what the men are not working now, and that's really sad. But it does look very good, and I hope you'll call in and let us know how it progresses forward.
Thanks.
You know, I really do, because I'm so happy for you. And again, remember we say sometimes you gotta have some courage, move away. You left California, you went to Oregon, and you've changed your life. And so far, are you happy with the change?
I am. I mean, it's been, since January, and my daughter is finally in school. She's in first grade. She goes to a Christian school. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do every day. So I'm still struggling that balance, but at least now, for the first time since, you know, she's almost 7 years old, I finally have time for myself to be quiet at home, drink a cup of coffee, just sit and relax just for a little while. So
I can't believe your daughter's seven. I can't believe your daughter's
almost,
seven.
Yeah. Because
you just were pregnant with her or just had her when we first spoke, and I can't believe how time has flown by. Now, I'm going to finish your reading up with this. Your daughter needs to see a good version of love, how a man treats a woman. She needs to see that, so she'll want to go out and find her own soulmate. Also, it's not, it's something unnatural about just you and her, okay? Normally it would be, two parents, and the child wouldn't come entirely first all the time. You know, she would have to share you with another person. And you need to not be afraid to have a soulmate and put him just a tad bit first. Your daughter is just a tad bit second, so she'll go out and find her own soulmate, okay? I know in America we put our kids first. We always do that. But my generation was the first one to do that, and it's been a failed experiment. As a rule, we have really raised some miserable, unhappy children, putting them first.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to love. And so, you know, showing her how a man treats a woman. And, of course, she isn't going to be slighted out of love because he's going to love her too. So she's going to get, you know, something out of that. She has another person loving her. So she didn't get, she got a little tiny second mom's world, but she got another whole heart loving her. So it's going to be a good deal for her too. And, you know, he seems to be good with children and like them. And so, you know, everything looks good here. So remember, part of what you need to do is show her a good version of love.
Okay.
So, you know, don't feel guilty if you go out and you're having a good time, and, you know, that's important.
Yes.
Makes
sense.
That.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
I'm so glad you called in. And, of course, we're always proud of a woman who makes a big step and moves across the country just because it wasn't working in California and she had to find a better place. And that took enormous courage. Enormous courage. And also, you're a single mom. That took enormous courage. Everything, you have enormous courage. Now, let's let God reward you with a soulmate.
Amen. Thank you.
And keep us posted. We always love to hear from you.
I sure will.
Okay. Good luck,
okay.
Camille, and enjoy your day.
Thanks. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Nicole, isn't it interesting to hear someone, how we watch them evolve and grow and what happens in their life? So it's so exciting, you know. I mean, that's the whole exciting part about it. And, you know, we're always – and people who listen to our radio show, who say grant me a higher love, who believe in a higher love, they're going to be granted that higher love. That goes with the territory. Now,
absolutely.
We do have a lot of listeners, and if anybody would like to speak to us, they just have to press 1. We're here.
Yep.
We'd love to talk to you. You know, we try to get in as many callers as we can. And we did get someone pressing, so
there we go.
Maybe,
All right, so
looks
just
like
so that you
Florida.
Know we're identifying you, it is the last four digits of your number are 7419. So let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, 7419, you are on the air.
Hello, it's Laura.
Hi, Laura, how are you?
Hi.
And you're
good.
Calling
I had
from
a
Florida?
Uh-huh, I had a reading with you in April, and it was very good. And the guy I'm seeing, you were kind of right about him, the selfish, the everything like that. And he always wants me to call him when I get home from work or text him. Or is that he's truly worried, or is that he's trying to control
me? He wants to make sure you're not with somebody else. He's pretty possessive.
Yeah.
Have you figured that out?
Yeah.
He's a very possessive guy.
Do you see this ending anytime soon? I feel like, you know, because he got the car, remember I was telling you, and I'm paying him back, but he likes to keep that control now. So
oh,
I'm
yeah.
not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he likes to keep the control. You know, what I'm seeing is if you stay with him, this is going to start getting toxic. Because
okay.
he's, you know, he's pretty big a control freak. And
yeah.
He's already thinking you're looking for somebody else.
Yeah, he tells me he has that fear, which, yeah, if somebody came along, I would be. I don't say that to him, but I try not to see him very much. I lie about my work schedule and so
see, he's
I
figuring
really...
out you're lying a little bit, too. I mean, his own gut's kicking in saying, I don't think she's always working when she says she is. And
oh,
so,
okay.
So, you know, he's kind of, you know, not stupid that way. But,
okay.
You know, is the car paid off now?
No, I'm still paying it. It's going to be a few years, and that's what has me concerned. I don't want to be with him just for the car, you know. Not sure what
well,
to
first,
do, but.
Well, first of all, if you break up with him, what's he going to do with the car? Is he going to take it back? What's he going to do?
No, because it's in my name. No, he wouldn't. So I could just keep
right.
making payments. I feel a little guilty, like, but I don't want to keep seeing him just because of that. Because I'm not enjoying
no,
it.
No, and I could understand why. And, you know, the sooner you break it off, probably the better, because it's kind of keeping you from moving forward.
Okay.
How mm-hmm. often are you seeing
him? I just saw him this week for the first time in, like, almost 4 weeks, because I was lying about my work schedule. Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
I'm trying, but I'm not enjoying it. He's just... I can't do it much longer, and I'm not sure how to get out of it.
Well, how about telling the truth?
Okay.
Which is,
mm-hmm.
either you're a nice guy, and I like you, but I'm not feeling it, and,
yeah.
You know, it's not fair to you, you know, and, you know, break it off without drama and trauma. You don't have to hate
okay.
somebody to leave, and you don't have to have a, you know, you're not married to him. You don't, you know, you don't need to, you know, come up with fault or reason or blame. You know, you
no.
can just say you're really nice guy. I just don't feel it.
Okay.
I mean, nice people will walk down the aisle with the wrong person rather than break their heart. And I'm not so sure with the first caller we were doing that that's not the case with this guy. He doesn't want to break this woman's heart. And he's going to walk down the aisle with her even though he knows she's not the love of his life. So,
right.
you know, be a little honest with him, but, you know, he's going to look like, it looks like he's going to really not take it well.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. Mm-hmm.
He push your guilt buttons and make you feel like, look at all he did for you.
Yeah. I feel like
so,
he's a little
know,
when, unstable. Is that correct? I feel like he's a little unstable. Would I be, does that sound right? I mean...
He does look a little unstable to me too. Is it? Can you say it? Why? You know, I don't know if you want to say it over the phone and make sure there's somebody around when you're saying it near you, just in case
yeah,
he wants to
just,
come. Crazy.
Sometimes he just like one time the car payment is supposed to be 4 years, so I told him I'm going to try to pay it off in two. Then he's saying, "Oh, I have 2 years with you," and then like he's zoned out. It was kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would advise you to maybe, you know, not be alone with him when you're telling him this.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think he's going to hurt you. I just think he's going to be, like, a little bit screaming or nuts.
Okay.
You know, but if you say it calmly, that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. You know, you can only say it calmly. And
do you see anyone else coming along, or...
Yeah, see, it looks like, you know, you would find someone else, but, you know, if the more time you spend with him,
right.
you know, the harder it's going to be for you to find somebody else. You realize that. You're spending time with
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's starting to check up on you, and that's what's going to get ugly. If you, you know, sometimes women think, well, let me just see if I get somebody else, and then I'll break up. I wouldn't
right.
do that with him, because if he finds out, he's going to go really crazy.
Okay.
You know, at least if you just break up because... You know, and there's nobody else. His ego isn't going to be totally blown away.
Okay.
But I do see someone else coming. And, you know, you have to get yourself out there a little bit, too. And
yeah.
I think also your fear of getting out in the dating world is probably what's keeping you with him, too. It's
yeah,
not fun to go out in the dating world.
Yeah, no, I'm not really enjoying that much anymore.
No,
so,
I can understand that. Yeah. I can understand that, but the longer you stay with him, the harder it's going to be to break off. Nicole,
okay.
you're listening. Do you have anything you want to say on this? Because Nicole's usually very good at this kind of thing here. With
yeah, I mean, you pretty much hit it on the head, you know? I mean, you know, a lot of times when things get ugly, it's because they weren't dealt with properly. You know, I think that even though he might not like the answer of, listen, I don't want to be with you, I think
right.
that compounded lying or compound omissions of the truth will just make the situation worse. And it could
right.
make what could just be an angry situation into a more volatile situation by not just coming clean up front, you know?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
so in my opinion, you know, I would definitely have somebody else around and do it in a public place where, you know, where if he does decide that he's going to take the anger route, that, you know, that you feel somewhat safe and protected. You know, I mean, do you
okay.
fear him? Do you fear what he might do?
A little bit. Sometimes, yeah, I don't. Yeah, I,
but does
sometimes
he have
I don't
a temper?
Think so. No, I've never seen the temper. It's just the way he acts. I get a gut feeling that he's not, he's a little
then
unstable.
Listen to your gut.
Okay.
Yeah, I always
then
listen
to
my
gut.
I mean, you haven't done anything to really inspire his temper, you know,
no.
at this point. So, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have one. And
right.
again, you know, he really thinks that he helped you get this car, and that makes you like a business arrangement with him that's almost like a marriage, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
kind of
no.
weird, I know. It's a little strange, yes.
No, listen,
and,
a car is a car. You know, I mean, and there's no reason for it. It's just a thing, you know. If the
right.
loan is in your name and he's just a co-signer on the loan, then he really has no matter of recourse with you as long as you keep making those payments, you know.
Right.
So as long as you honor your commitment and you're
right.
not backing out on your commitment, then you don't have anything to feel guilty about, because all you're doing is you're believe it or not, even though it's the harder decision, you're doing the most humane thing, you know.
Right.
You're saying flat out, listen, I don't want to be with you for the wrong reason. You know, you're a good guy. I like you. I just don't like you in that way. You know, it's, I just don't
right.
see us going down that path together. But, you know, I do, you know, want you to have love. You know, it's just not going to be with me. You know, but
right.
I will honor the commitment. I appreciate what you've done. I will honor the commitment. You know, you won't have to worry about that. You could even throw out there, when I'm in a position to refinance and remove you from this debt, I'll be more than happy to do it. But I will,
right.
you know, but I don't want to be with you for the wrong reason, and I'm sure you don't want to be with me for the wrong reason, and you don't want me to use you for the wrong reason.
Right, exactly.
You know, and
yeah.
I think that as long as you're upfront about that, and as long as he understands, like if he keeps throwing that whole car business, listen, I'm going to honor the commitment with the car. I appreciate it. You know, it's not lack of appreciation. It's simply that I don't want to be with you for the wrong reason, and I don't
right.
want you to be with me when I'm not feeling the same things that you are.
Right.
You know, it's the
okay.
more
and you notice how good
do.
People always feel guilty. You know how you always feel bad? Good people always feel bad.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't buy into that crap.
And, you know, your intention in doing this is not to hurt him. It's that,
no,
you know, he should have someone who loved him properly, too. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone who
exactly.
thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And that certainly mm-hmm. isn't you. And
yeah,
it's always hard to end anything. It's always
yeah.
hard. You know,
yeah,
and
you're
also you're just afraid
right.
of being alone. And maybe he's better than being alone. Is that what you're thinking?
Sometimes, not always, you know.
I find it worse to be near somebody you don't want to be than to be alone.
Yeah,
I'm getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Being with somebody that you don't want to be with just for the sake of being with somebody can sometimes be more lonely than being by yourself.
Yes, and I'm seeing that. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, exactly. And, you know, just hang in there and be brave. You'll know the right moment to say it, too. I mean, don't say it when he's in
right.
a bad mood. You know what I mean? Like, wait.
Yeah,
wait
no.
Towards...
Yeah.
And, you know, and how do you, you know, when you know, he must know something's up because you haven't been seeing him hardly at all. So he's already,
no,
this isn't
yeah.
going to come as a shock to him. You've kind of been weaning
yeah.
off of him a little bit.
Yes, I do. I lie about my work schedule. That's what I do, yeah.
And isn't it terrible to have to keep lying?
That's a problem in itself.
It is. It's really bothering me.
You should never, ever have to lie to anybody about what you're doing. I'm married,
right.
and I never, ever have to lie to my wife about where I'm going or what I'm doing, unless it's Christmas time and I don't want her to know where I'm shopping.
Right.
You
well,
know,
he says
I mean,
he's insecure. He thinks I'm going to find somebody else, and I don't say anything to him because I don't know.
You know what?
Well,
sometimes.
You know,
sometimes when somebody's like that, the best thing you can tell them is, listen, you know, if you don't want me to find somebody else, I won't, if I wasn't so suffocated, maybe I wouldn't look for anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, they can't, people like that cannot get it in their heads that it's okay to treat people that way. Because
yeah.
even though they don't see it, that position is a narcissistic one, and it is abusive.
Yes.
Because what you're doing is you're literally combating his imagination. Okay,
yeah.
And you can fight another woman, you can fight another feeling, you can fight, you know, any sort of disagreement that you have. Okay, you can fight
right.
about the grocery bill, you can fight about the car, you can fight about any of those things because it's tangible and it's real. You cannot
right.
fight somebody's imagination. What he's holding
right.
you accountable for is what goes on in his head that doesn't fucking exist.
Right, that is
exactly.
crazy. That's a, it's a little scary, yeah.
Yeah, you
well,
know,
yeah,
I mean,
what,
you might as well, you know, he might as well hold you accountable for what the gnomes said to him when you were gone. Gnomes don't
right.
fucking exist. You
right,
know, I mean,
right.
you can't be held accountable for that.
Right.
And,
you
and
know,
just,
so,
you know, love yourself the way you would love your own child. Love yourself. What would you tell someone you love to do? You would tell them, you know, what you're doing is self-love, self-preservation, and, you know, you're not breaking up with him to hurt him. That's not your intention, okay?
No,
if he gets hurt indirectly, well, it wasn't what you were striving for. It wasn't what you're trying for. And sometimes we
right.
just have to, you know, unfortunately, sometimes we have to hurt people. You know, we don't mean to, but it happens. And it is
right.
what it is. And, you know, people have to start being grown-ups, too. You know, and,
yeah.
and not acting like
you're
a
right.
five-year-old child is somebody... You know, and he already knows. He's already insecure. He already thinks somebody else is going to come and, you know, and be with you. And he knows that it's not a strong relationship. He knows that.
Right. Mhm.
You know, he
yeah,
knows
you're
that.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Well, call in and let us know what happens
okay,
and
thank
have
you
the courage
both
to break
for...
up with him.
Yeah, I will. Thank you both.
Yes, and
I
be careful.
Yes, I will. Thank
you. Know, be
you.
Careful. You know, I mean, don't do anything that you're not prepared to follow through with. This is not
mm-hmm.
something that you can start and stop, you know, just because you get cold feet. You know, muster
right.
up your courage and do a full follow through. And like I said, it doesn't feel good in the beginning, but ultimately you're doing what's best for both of you. You know, this
right.
is not a selfish act on your part. This is not, well, you know what, I got the car, so now, you know, screw this guy. You're literally
yeah.
saying to yourself that you're kind of trying to take a hit for the team here, and you're saying, you know, I don't want to be stuck with him until the end of the car, but if I have to, like,
That's no way for you to be.
No,
that's no,
no
way
I
for
can't.
You to live your life, and it's no way for you to allow somebody else to live theirs. May I ask how old you are? Give me a range,
huh?
Range, decade. Can I ask how old you guys are? Like range.
I'm 58. He's 70. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask
okay.
you something. At 58 years old and at 70, do you really have years to give each other to just waste
no,
time
you
when
know,
you know it's not
right?
It's, not
it's
right?
funny you should say that because that's what I think about all the time. You're right. You're absolutely
yeah,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
some of the best relationships are happening in the second half of your life, okay? Because in the second half
right.
of your life, you actually know what you want, okay?
Right.
So you know what? This is your time. This is your prime. This is you knowing what you want and deserving happiness. And even though he may not be the best guy for you, he might be the best guy for somebody else.
Somebody
and he
else,
deserves
right.
that, too.
Yes. True.
Exactly. Well, we're at the end of our show, and they're just about
okay,
ready to
thank
cut
you
it
both.
Off.
Thank you both very much.
Good night,
okay,
everybody.
Good
thank
night.
You, Nicole,
good
for
night.
Your feedback.
Oh, thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I was late
I
today. I'm happy
help.
That I was able to chime in. You know,
well,
what?
No, I needed you today
because
I'm like sometimes because every time you seem to say some things that really hit, you know, hard and good, and I just needed you tonight. So,
well,
I need Nicole
well,
tonight.
Well, it was my brother's birthday, so I was running a little bit late, but I did jump on there, Cindy. So I'm sorry if I gave you a heart attack about not being
no,
on time today.
No, I knew you'd be here. No,
all
I knew
right,
you'd be
sir.
Here. Okay.
And
okay.
thank you, Cindy. You did a wonderful job, and thank you to all of our callers tonight.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Bye.